Meeting of the San Francisco Port Commission for April 8th, 2025. Roll call. President Kimberly Brandon.
Here.
Vice President Gail Gilman.
Present.
Commissioner Willie Adams.
Here.
Commissioner Stephen Engblom.
Here.
Commissioner Stephen Lee.
Here.
Item 2 is approval of minutes for the March 11, 2025 Port Commission meeting.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes have been approved.
Item 3 is public comment on executive session.
We will now open it up to public comment. Is there any public comment in the room? Seeing none, do we have anyone on the phone?
For callers on the line, please dial *3 if you wish to make public comment. The system will let you know when your line is open. Others will wait on mute until their line is open. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes per person. The queue is now open. Please dial *3 if you wish to make public comment. At this time, there are no callers for public comment.
Thank you. Public comment is closed. Next item, please.
Item 4 is executive session. There is one executive session item, conference with legal counsel and real property negotiator as agendized.
Motion to go into executive session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. We are
SFGovTV. San Francisco Government Television.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We are now in open session. Next item, please.
Item 6 is the land acknowledgement. The San Francisco Port Commission acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. We recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. Item 7 is announcements. Please be advised that the ringing of and use of cell phones and similar sound-producing electronic devices are prohibited at this meeting. A member of the public has up to 3 minutes to make public comments on each agenda item unless the Port Commission adopts a shorter period on any item. Public comment must be in respect to the current agenda item. The Commission will take in-person and remote public comments on each item, beginning with commenters in person. For remote public comment, dial 1-415-655-0001 and enter access code 2660-727-7721 #. Then dial *3 to raise your hand to comment on the item being discussed. An audio prompt will signal when it is your turn to speak. If you are watching this meeting on SFGov TV, there is a short broadcasting delay. To not miss your chance to comment, please dial when the item you want to comment on is announced. Mute your device and listen to the meeting from your telephone, which has no delay. Item 8 is public comment on items not listed on the agenda.
Is there any public comment on items not listed on the agenda? Come on up.
Good afternoon, Port Commissioners. My name is Demetrius Williams. I'm Local 10's president, ILWU Local 10 president. I'm here to address a few concerns about the Pier 35 that we've been addressing with the Port Commissioners. On Monday, March 31st, at Pier 35, the Coeing's Dam cruise ship with passengers aboard Baller broke loose with lines launching into the San Francisco Bay, which caused a significant amount of danger to longshore and to the passengers. The Coeing's went to sail about some 50 feet into the ocean, and the bridge broke away and fell into the ocean. The tugboat had to be recalled out, and the concerns of the ILWU was underneath scrutiny, especially with the concerns and welfare of passengers and with the longshoremen. I want to read some of the letters that was written to address these issues. May 25th, 2023. Dear Metro Cruises, I am writing in express my concerns about Metro Cruises' service practicing of allowing crew members to do jobs of gearmen, which is definitely unsafe by Local 10's agreement. As you are aware of, this is not in line with the establishment contract between Local 10 and PMA member companies to allow the City of San Francisco maintenance people to do work of the gear men who work underneath the agreement of the Miscellaneous Dock Worker Agreement, better known as the MDWA. The practice not only undermines the work of Local 10, but it also affects the quality of service we provide to Metro Cruises services. I urge you to reconsider the practice of allowing any other workers to perform work outside of the agreement and adhere to established contract between Local 10 and Metro. If not, Local 10 will not have no other choice but to inform authorities that Metro is continuing to violate the agreement. It is important that all work are entitled to work underneath their agreements, treated fairly, and that their rights and responsibility are respected. If you have an agreement with the cruise lines to allow the crew to work on the country, please provide the agreement. By doing so, you will not only be upholding the law, but also contributing to a more equality workplace. Thank you for attention on this matter. That was on May 25th, 2023.
So I'm not sure you're going to have time to read all the letters.
Okay.
But is there anything else you would like to say?
Yes, I do. We had an opportunity to also talk with Port Commissioners and Vice President about Salesforce GP, PASHA, and the San Francisco Port doing business without ILWU. It was extremely hard on March 22nd and March 23rd to watch sailboats get launched off into the ocean off a dock work jurisdiction, which ILWU falls underneath. We watched people work in an unsafe manner without hard hats, without safety vests, and without safety shields off the port of Pier 80 when they launched the sailboats into the ocean. We talked with Salesforce GP, Mr. Myers, and we also had a conversation with PASHA Dan Rollins to understand how important, how imperative it is to use ILWU dock workers, because that's what we do. We make sure everything is safe. We work safely. We hold ourselves to a higher standard of safety, and that's what ILWU is. We are dock workers to make sure that work is being offloaded and unloaded onto in and off the ships in a safely manner.
Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. We really appreciate it. Thank you
for having me.
Uh-huh. Is there any other public comment not listed on the agenda? If not, do we have anyone on the phone?
At this time, there are no callers for public comment.
Thank you. Public comment is closed. Director Forbes, can you please update the commission on your discussions with ILWU, Local 10, and the work that's being done at Pier 35 and on other port property?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you. Next item, please.
Item 9A is the Executive Director's Report. For callers who wish to make public comments on this item, please dial *3 to raise your hand to comment.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, President Brandon, Vice President Gilman, members of the public, Port Commission staff. I'm Elaine Forbes, your Executive Director. I'd like to start my report today by noting that we had our staff recognition event back on March 21st. We call this event our Breakfast of Champions. We were thrilled to have you, President Brandon and Vice President Gilman, join us along with Mayor Lurie. It was a great day to celebrate staff, and it is always really rewarding to see the work across all of our various divisions and teams and just the impact and innovation and real heart you bring to this work. So it was a wonderful day. I would like to move on to economic vitality. April is peak cruise season in San Francisco. We are ready for it. A call will take place every 4 days in April. Yes, thank you. And we will host cruise ships every other day in May. With current bookings through the end of the year, the port is on track for 91 cruise calls and approximately 365,000 passengers. Our passenger counts continue to steadily grow, mirroring large cruise industry trends, as cruise lines seek to maximize passenger occupancy on existing itineraries, which means our cruise ships are fuller than ever. Cruise continues to be a huge economic engine for the city, and I'm really proud of the maritime and maintenance teams for making cruise happen here in San Francisco. To equity. We had to say goodbye to a very beautiful sculpture that was next to Pier 1, As Sound Turns to Noise. This powerful bronze piece has been on loan to the port since July of 2024, and now it's moving to a gallery in New York City. Thomas J. Price is the artist, and it is really a monument to the transformative power of being seen. We gathered at the end of March for a staff potluck and a photo to say goodbye to her. You'll see on this slide. And thank you, Amy Cohen, once again for this work if you're in the audience. We do have a new sculpture coming, which I'm happy to announce, Revolution, which will be unveiled in Embarcadero Plaza on April 10th as part of an effort that the Recreation and Parks Department is leading in collaboration with Building 180, a woman-led arts production and consulting agency. This piece is a 45-foot tall sculpture that was first displayed at Burning Man. So we'll be happy to see this sculpture join the waterfront. Port staff is actually working with Building 180 on some proposals to bring more art to the waterfront, and we look forward to reporting back in more details when we have those. To the BIPOC Women Makers events. On March 29, Mayor Daniel Lurie joined us to explore and celebrate the Bay Area BIPOC Women Maker event at the Ferry Building. It came really wonderfully at the end of Women's History Month. It was a tremendous day. It was a tremendous showcase of San Francisco to have the ferries come in and see all of these entrepreneurs. Since we've launched this program in 2022, Foodwise has hosted 12 pop-up events, and in the entrepreneurs I spoke with, most had been to either 11, 10, or 9 of the events as they grow in capacity and really expressed a real appreciation for Foodwise and how easy it has been to join this program and how welcoming it has been. So it's just a very, very, very successful program. And you'll see the Pier 50 staff up in the right-hand corner, because on April 16th, this group is going to host our second career fair. It's really important to uplift the trades as incredibly important for the port's own success on our port staff and for the contractors that we work with to deliver other port projects. The port maintenance teams from our roofer shop, our painters, our iron workers, and many others will demonstrate their work in live demonstration to really create a learning environment for the young people. We've reached out to high schools, community-based organizations, and City College. Last year we had excellent turnout, so I hope this year we have it again. Now I will go to key project updates. I have some quick updates on the Mission Rock development. We continue to see new business opportunities in the neighborhood. Mission Rock Partners has put tremendous effort into their retail program. The Bakery Artist Cult recently opened, and Flower Plus Water will be opening soon. And they've also completed their personalized commemorative brick installation along the Bay Trail in China Basin Park. We also won a partnering award with Mission Rock, and this is when city agencies, SFMTA, PUC, DPW, Port, we all partnered in the really complex infrastructure work in this program, and we won an award for it, and I think there's much to celebrate. This project continues to deliver more housing and inclusivity in the neighborhood, and it's a really proud example of what public-private partnerships can do. Okay, I moved on to dredging. This project took a lot of help from our regulatory agencies. We had to get an emergency dredge permit because the siltation was just faster than we anticipated. And without dredging, we don't have cruise ships. So maritime staff, the planning team, worked closely with BCDC and the Water Quality Board and other partners, and we got our emergency dredge permit working in collaboration so we could continue to welcome our cruise calls. We saw that the day of the Breakfast of Champions, the rig was out in the window and the work was getting done. So congratulations to the team that made that happen. Resilience. April is Earth Month, and SF Climate Week will take place from April 19th to 27th. The port is participating in several events this month. Join us for waterfront walks. join us for waterfront walks, an interactive exhibition at Spur Urban Center that's opening on April 10th, and it's an exhibition that explores San Francisco's evolving relationship with water through creative installations, climate games, and an exhibit on the port's draft plan and the San Francisco Waterfront Flood Study. This will be open May 10 through May 9. It's from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Spur Urban Center. The SF Shoreline Leadership Academy, a climate-focused leadership program for high school students developed in collaboration with BCDC and the Port of San Francisco, is going strong. There will be an event April 18th from 10 a.m. at Yerba Buena Gardens. And lastly, we invite you to join the Save the Bay Climate Conversation on April 23rd at Manny's from 6 to 7 p.m. The port will join a panel alongside Save the Bay, the East Bay Dischargers Authority, the city of San Mateo leadership for a sea level rise and nature-based solution discussion. And all of these details on the events can be found on social media for the port. In closing, I'd like to announce that the Fisherman's Wharf Benefits District has hired a new director. I'm excited to announce Bree McLaughlin as the executive director of this very important community benefits district. She brings more than 18 years of diversified management experience at Yerba Buena Gardens Conservancy. She will lead Fisherman's Wharf as CBD operations, and that really includes a lot of integration with us and the grant that we have given to that agency. So we're excited to work with her as a new partner. Commissioners, that concludes my report. And it's an honor always to work for you and ensure a safe, clean, and vibrant waterfront. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on the executive director's report? Seeing none, do we have anyone on the phone?
At this time, there are no callers for public comment.
Thank you. Public comment is closed. Commissioner Lee?
Elaine, it's great. Report, good way to start the spring. A couple of things, food wise, I was there with you. Don't forget, it was quick, but I was there, and it was good that we support, you know, the people that don't get a paycheck every 2 weeks. That's what I always push for, and to see them selling their goods and exposing, that's very big, and I think Mayor Loy appreciated that. Going back to that, and then also your cruise ships. I'm all about public safety, so I want to make sure that we follow up on the previous item. But does the with that many people coming in, is the visitor bureau when the ships come to dock, is there a city agency or a visitors bureau there at the terminal with information? Where they can shop, where they can eat, where they can go to North Beach, Chinatown, whatever. Is there any direction other than the cruise ship director before they get off board? So it'd be kind of nice to know if the San Francisco Visitors Bureau or somebody as of travel wants to be involved in having an information desk. I mean, you're talking about a cruise ship every other day coming to San Francisco. We have 500 tenants on the port that could probably use the business, except just everybody going to Pier 39. So I think that's important if we can check on that.
Thank you for the question through the chair. Yeah. I believe the Stevedore provides a lot of information, and there's lots of excursions way outside of Pier 39. That said, we'll have a look into it, and I'll report back.
Yeah, because there's other restaurants struggling, like Pier 23. You know, they don't even know unless they walk by that they can use some help, right? So that and the rest, it's great. I mean, dredging, getting more in. I mean, again, I'm all about the public safety. Just make sure everybody's safe. Let's just follow up on that part, especially when you have so many people coming in. But other than that, it's great. I think this summer is going to be a big hit. It's going to be busy. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Engblom?
Thank you, Director Forbes. Great report. I had an opportunity to tour Mission Rock last this past month, and really impressive to see what's happening there. I'm glad to hear that there was city recognition of the agencies that collaborated with the private sector on that. It is a really world-class project and something we should be proud to have on our waterfront. I'm struck by how interconnected the cruise data is that was talked about, and you know, hearing it earlier in our meeting as well. And I guess I just wanted to sort of continue my challenge for us to think about how do we continue to sort of really emphasize the power of what's happening on our waterfront in terms of the economy, and not just economic development, but also jobs. I just did a quick search online, like when was and online anyway, it's not perfect, and I just did it while listening, but the last data available for the economic impact, at least to Google, was in 2006. So I feel like we should be, maybe there's a better data out there, and if there is, I hope that we can celebrate that more every time we talk about this, because I mean, I know that the tourism is such a huge part of our, you know, if the cruises are, just my quick math, it's like 5% of our tourism numbers are coming off those ships. If that's 5% of our tourism economy, every time we talk about the importance of tourism, the importance of those ships coming in, it's great to say it in terms of, I was really impressed by that every 4 days, but that's kind of an abstract idea. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Is that a lot? Is that not a lot? But if I hear about it in terms of, this is 5% of our city's tourism economy, it's going to support this many jobs, it's important for all of our trades, then I think it becomes a much more powerful stat to throw out. So I think it's just, we should just challenge ourselves to, you know, tell, because that way we're important in everybody's book, and we feed that information to everybody knows that this is a huge economic engine, and then therefore when we go talk about, oh, we have this huge $1 billion program to improve our waterfront, nobody's asking, well, why do we have to do that? Is that an option? It's not an option, because this is critical to our economy, it's critical to our jobs, and it's critical to be a safe place for visitors and people working here. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
Thank you for your report, Director Williams. President Williams, I appreciate you being here. It's a little disturbing to hear about a ship and what happened out at sea. And I'll be waiting to hear back from Director Forbes about the meeting that she had with you and Andre Coleman. And we clearly, with 91 ships coming in, we definitely don't need any labor unrest on the waterfront, and we need the members of IOW, Local 10, and 75, and 3491 to know that they have a good relationship with the Port of San Francisco. I didn't hear anything about the opening day of the Giants in the report, and I'm sure that went well. And the report, as usual, was excellent, and I'll be looking forward to hearing back on the safety issues. We don't want passengers, to feel like the ships aren't safe, and we don't want anybody to get hurt. So I think it's important. So I'll be looking forward to your report about the ongoing relationship and making sure that people come to San Francisco and experience the best experience that they can have as tourists. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Gilman.
Director Forbes, thanks for a great report, and I'm sorry I missed the Makers pop-up, but I heard it was excellent and got a great response, as it always does, and I really think it's special that we continue to partner with FoodWise and to uplift that and do that, particularly in today's times. To go back to cruise, because I think it's such a critical part of our waterfront, I'd like to request an informational, actually, on Pier 80. Seeing the problems we're having with Metro, hearing what we just heard from our friends in labor, I really think it's time that we double down on making Pier 80 a viable source for our secondary cruise launch and move away from a troubled asset that we know may no longer be suitable for that cruise. So I'd love to have an informational brought back to the commission to see what we need to do that and to drive that tourism to the southern waterfront. I also think on that one, which also could be good for the commission to understand, this was an aha moment for me, only because I have friends who are, I've never been on a cruise ship, who are cruising, is that there's two kinds of cruising, is my understanding. There's cruising where people are coming here to get on a cruise ship and then disembarking,
yes,
which are people from the Bay Area. But then a friend of mine is flying to San Diego from San Francisco, and then she's actually stopping here for 24 hours as part of the cruise.
Yes.
Which I
think one
is
called a full turn, and one is an in-transit.
Turn. Yes.
Yes.
So I think it'd be great in your numbers to understand what the breakdown is between those, because I think that's a different – she's doing it because she's taking her mother from New York. But I think it'd be interesting to understand that, because I think that's two different variables, what we're looking at from a tourism perspective, and what we're also looking for, hooking locals who are coming from Vallejo or the East Bay or other parts to get on those ships for the full turns. Mm-hmm. And how do we get them to come back when they're not on that ship and be part of the waterfront? Mm-hmm. So I think that could just be an interesting data point from an economic perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Forbes, great report. And I just can't tell you how much fun I had at the Breakfast of Champions and celebrating our staff, individuals and teams all working together for the betterment of the waterfront. And it was, I left just feeling so good knowing that every meeting when I say this is the best agency in the city, it really is. You have a great team. So thank you so much for your leadership. That was a great experience. And it's so wonderful to hear how busy it's going to be over the next couple of months with the cruise stops, with the art installation, with the pop-ups. It's just, I mean, we're just doing what we're all here to do, and that's bringing people to the waterfront. And we are, we have so many different reasons and opportunities for people to enjoy the waterfront, and I just think that we're doing an amazing job as the gateway to the city of bringing people to the waterfront. So again, I want to thank you all. And congratulations on the Mission Rock Award. That's wonderful. And go Giants for opening day. Great report. Thank you. Next item, please.
Item 10 is the consent calendar. For callers who wish to make public comment on the consent calendar, please dial *3 to raise your hand to comment. 10A requests approval of a second amendment of lease L-13002 to grant Martin Marietta Northern California Aggregates LLC a one-time retroactive rent credit in the amount of $335,000 for delays outside of their control during their wind-down work of operations at Pier 94. This is Resolution 2518. And 10B requests authorization to advertise for competitive bids for a low bid maintenance dredging project, construction contract number 2885 with a 5-year term. This is Resolution 2519.
Can I have a motion to approve the consent
agenda? I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
We will now take public comment. Is there any public comment on the consent calendar? Seeing none, do we have anyone on the phone?
At this time, there are no callers for public comment.
Thank you. Public comment is closed. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Resolutions 2518 and 2519 are adopted.
Item 11A is an informational presentation of a proposed Memorandum of Understanding between the Port and the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing for a 5-year term covering the property at 625th Street between Michigan Street and Louisiana Street for continued operation of the Central Waterfront Navigation Center. For callers who wish to make public comments on this item, please dial *3 to raise your hand to comment.
Good afternoon, President Brandon, Vice President Gilman, Commissioners, Executive Director Forbes. I'm Kimberly Beal, Assistant Deputy Director for Real Estate, and I am joined today by Emily Cohen with Department of housing and supportive services with an informational presentation on a proposed MOU for continued operations of the Central Waterfront Navigation Center. So the current MOU was approved by the Port Commission back in 2016. They started operating in 2017. That agreement was for 3 years. We entered into an amendment extending the term of that agreement for an additional 5 years, and that agreement will expire at the end of this month, and there is no holdover presentation. I'm looking at this summary presentation. I'm sorry. No holdover provisions. So with today's presentation, we will be providing a little bit of background on why there's the need for this facility, along with information about the site operations. So that will be information on the site operator, what the intake process is there, and contractual obligations that the operator is required to perform as part of the port's good neighbor policy. I'll then be providing you with key MOU terms for the new MOU and let you know how entering into this MOU meets with the port's strategic objectives. And then we will have time for questions. So with that, I would like to introduce Emily Cohen with HSH.
Good afternoon, President Brandon, Vice President Gilman, Executive Director. It's great to see you all today. My name is Emily Cohen. I'm with the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing. And as Kimberly said, I'm here today to talk about the new MOU that we're hoping to enter into with the port to continue operations of the Central Waterfront Navigation Center. The current MOU is set to wind down at the end of April of this year, and we're proposing a new memorandum of understanding that would continue operations or would allow us to continue operations at the site for 5 years through April of 2030. And a little context for the crisis that we're facing and we continue to face in our community. No surprise to anyone here, we have an affordable housing and homelessness crisis in our community. Our 2024 point in time count found that there were over 8,300 people experiencing homelessness on a single night in our community, and 52% of those people were living unsheltered. And with a large portion, over 1,000 of those folks living unsheltered or living in District 10 in San Francisco. The Central Waterfront Navigation Center opened in May of 2017 to combat this challenge, and particularly to bring shelter resources to the Dog Patch neighborhood in San Francisco. And the model is a low barrier shelter model that isn't designed to meet people where they are, bring people in, allow them to bring their pets, three Ps, the pets, partners, and possessions, to really create a safe, warm community environment for 64 guests. One of the ways we measure the success of our programs is in terms of occupancy. We want to make sure that these resources are being well utilized. And last month, on the day of the data poll, we had a 98% occupancy rate, which is higher than average across our shelter system. As of June of last year, we moved the contract to Five Keys Schools and Programs to operate the site. Similar to the previous operator, they provide 24/7 staffing, intake and assessment for the adults who are guests at the site, case management, two meals a day, laundry services. We obviously have amenities like hygiene amenities like showers, but we also provide support groups, social events, and activities to engage the guests. We have a newer, relatively new partnership that we bring a roving service model to different shelters and navigation centers to connect our guests with benefits and healthcare services. So we have public health nurses on site twice a week at the shelter and bring in the Human Services Agency to do direct benefit enrollment, which really reduces barriers to connection. Referrals to this site, like many of our shelters, are through our centralized data, or excuse me, our centralized placement process. So we don't take walk-ups. That's why there's never any lines outside of the shelter. but placements are made directly by the centralized team in partnership with the outreach teams. The most recent program monitoring for this project was outstanding and had very good above average findings. The service objectives had no findings, no negative findings, and they met or exceeded all of their service objectives, including providing program orientation to 100% of guests, providing intake and assessment to 100% of guests. They exceeded their goal of 90% of guests being offered a referral for problem solving or coordinated entry within 1 week of placement. They actually reached 100% of that. There's several others that I won't get into, but they've met or exceeded all of them. And 75% of guests who completed the quarterly satisfaction survey either strongly agreed or agreed that they were satisfied with the services received on site. Good neighbor policy. So HSH over the last several years, probably between the time of our last MOU with the port and this one, has really enhanced our good neighbor policy in all of our contracts with our service providers, particularly those operating shelters, and really focusing on encouraging and requiring the operator of the site, so in this case Five Keys, to be available to meet with the community, to conduct perimeter checks, to have 24/7 access, not only for guests, but that the public can reach out and call them 24/7 if there is an issue, actively discouraging loitering, three perimeter checks per day, 24-hour abatement of graffiti, and really working with guests, and this is kind of a big one and a challenging one, to not keep any tents outside of the property. So we've done a tremendous amount of work to bring people inside, and unfortunately sometimes folks still leave a tent outside, and so that is something that is a major case management issue and something that we're working really closely with our providers on. And something that I think as you go and visit this site, walk around this part of the port, you'll see very little in terms of that sort of behavior. And before I take questions, I'll turn it back over to Kimberly. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Emily. So in looking at the terms of this new MOU, one of the things I want to mention that's a little different for this location than some of our others, this is not on a pier, this is not on a seawall lot, this is in the street. And so to accommodate the center, we were able to get a ordinance allowing for a temporary street vacation for this particular center. And so the street vacation will conclude upon the earliest either of the removal of the navigation center, expiration of the lease, or a revocation of the MOU, or determination by HSH, the HSH director, public works director, that equivalent number of permanent shelter beds has been created at an alternate location and all residents of the Central Waterfront Navigation Center would have access to those beds. So otherwise, the MOU will cover approximately 13,400 square feet of paved land. Again, that's in the middle of the street there. This will be for a five-year term. There is no holdover. The rent is a little over, or I will say a little under $7,400 per month that will be escalated on an annual basis. Of that, over the term, 6.5% of the revenues will go towards the Southern Waterfront Beautification Fund, and so that's about $29,000 that will go to that over the course of the lease. The port has the ability to terminate the MOU if the property is needed for a public trust purpose. Otherwise, things continue as they are under the existing agreement. So in looking at how entering into this MOU meets with the port's strategic goals, it meets with our equity goal as it will provide housing for homeless residents and provides a pathway to permanent housing. It meets our goal of engagement, as we are proactively partnering with HSH to address the city's overall needs for temporary housing and also for economic recovery, because, as mentioned, we will be getting monthly rent for use of what essentially is a public street that we would not get revenue from otherwise unless there were parking meters there, and I doubt we would be getting what we will be getting under this MOU. And so with that, I thank you for your time and welcome any questions that you may have.
Thank you. We will now open it up for public comment. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, do we have anyone on the phone?
At this time, there are no callers for public comment.
Thank you. Public comment is closed. Commissioner Ingram?
Thank you very much for the presentation. I guess I have a couple questions. Five-year-old facility now. How are the physical facilities holding up? Because it's 5 years, a lot of times these structures need reconstruction. But then during this term that we're talking about, is there any anticipation of downtime because of improvements?
I will turn it over to Emily to answer that question, but I will say this is actually now an 8-year-old facility.
Okay.
Because we entered into, originally the agreement was for 3 years, we amended for an additional 5, so we're at the end of 8.
Thank you for the question, Commissioner. So we don't anticipate any significant capital needs in the next 5 years. We provide regular maintenance actually through our department's facilities team. As a city leased or shelters that are city leased or owned, we provide the on-site maintenance and upkeep for the site. So it is receiving very regular upkeep. It was just out there. It's in pretty good condition.
Okay. And then I guess my other kind of question is, you know, obviously this is a very serious issue for the city at large. I'm just wondering if, because this is a project on, you know, in partnership with the port and the land, I'm just curious how, do we have any, there were some nice things said about, you know, sort of, you know, people are, you know, being placed and is there any data on how this facility, is there anything that we can talk about that this is, you know, either through the operator or the design, or does HSA think this is maybe an exemplar project in some way that's having positive outcomes on people's lives?
Absolutely. Thank you, Commissioner. So we generally track our data at a system-wide level rather than site-by-site. We certainly monitor the site-by-site program outcomes, and as I mentioned, in our program monitoring, the site has met and exceeded all of the objectives set out in the contract. But from a systems perspective, this site, you know, it's small. This is a 64-bed facility, but it has been instrumental in helping us place more people out of homelessness and into housing in the last year, the last fiscal year than we ever have before. We are ending homelessness faster and for more people than we ever have been able to, and it's because of resources like this. While the shelter itself is not responsible for housing people, they're responsible for providing a safe, dignified place for somebody to recuperate, get off the street, get their basic human needs met, catch up on some sleep. It is the housing part of our system that's really responsible for ending their homelessness, but we can't do it without that safe place. And that's really why the mayor has been so vocal about wanting to continue shelter operations and really invest in shelter. So this site is, you know, operates at a, I would say, really on par with other shelters of its size. But I think what's special about this site is, you know, it's really removed. It's peaceful. It's very, very quiet. It's right on the water. And it really provides a nice healing environment for folks coming off the street. And we really try to prioritize people from District 10 for placement there so they can remain close to any support systems they might have in the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
I appreciate the report. The late Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, a nation can be strong without being cruel. And I will say this Navigation Center and also the one in Embarcadero I think even all the years I've been on the commission, and different commissioners had different points of view, whether this was good or even the public. And San Francisco, even our leaders in San Francisco nationally have taken a hit because people are always talking about the homelessness in San Francisco. And I'm really proud of the port that we have these facilities, and I think it's a good thing. And, you know, I know the port is here to make money, but this is also showing the social conscience of the port, and we have to do some, even in a city that's probably split on how to deal with homelessness. Well, I'll tell you some. Don't ever think that you can't wind up homeless. It can happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. Don't ever think that it can't happen to you. A lot of very prominent people have wound up homeless, and we're not even talking about the other ingredient, the mental health. And when Ronald Reagan was the governor of California, he shut down all the mental health institutions here in California with budget cuts. So these things are so needed in the community. And I really appreciate the work of the advisory groups because they had to go out. And I really appreciate the port staff having to go out to the community. And there's always for and against. And you got to listen to everybody, those that don't like it, those that are for it, and you lay it out. I'm in support of it. And I was in support when we did the one on the Embarcadero. This was something at the time Mayor Bree wanted, and the commission got on board with it. Now that Mayor Lori's in, this one down here, the Central Waterfront Navigation Center, we need to be on board. We need to continue this work. And unfortunately, we're always going to have the homeless among us. And as I say, it could be wind up being us, a family member or a friend, and the work. And it's a painful conversation to have. Everybody thinks that everybody can help themselves. Sometimes people just can't help themselves as much as they would like to. And we need to show that compassion and have that human spirit of helping and knowing that there are maybe 68 people less a night that's out in the weather, in the elements, being exposed to criminals or somebody going to hurt them or kill them. And then maybe eventually they will wind up, and we're all hoping that there will be more affordable housing. And I look at this as the first step. And then eventually, hopefully, they can go on to affordable housing or somewhere else and get back on their feet. And they'll remember that, you know, the Port of San Francisco, the city, and the citizens, that we have a conscience and we help, because we better realize this is the most expensive city in the country to live in. It's not that easy. So anyway, I know it's just an item. We're not going to vote on it, but I'm in full support of it. And I know it's tough because how people feel about it, but I support it. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Lee?
I really don't have any questions or any, but well, I do have a question. When 64 spaces, how long do they usually stay in? You know, do they stay a week? Do they stay a month? How do you rotate to get more people into the program? The Embarcadero Center is great. I mean, I watched, you know, how much pushback you guys got on that one, but it's become a model where it's been safe and nobody is outside around it. It's almost like an entertainment spot. When I was on the commission there, how the neighbors just hated to have a club in their neighborhood. But it's important that the outside is taken care of, and I think you guys know how to do that. But I'm just curious on how long it takes. You know, I mean, 64 people doesn't seem a lot compared to how many we have to deal with, but I'm just curious from my own information.
Yeah.
How long does it take for a person to come in and get out?
Commissioner, that's a great question, and it's one of the metrics we're tracking in our overall system performance. We really want to shrink that time, right? We want people to experience homelessness for as little time as possible. Right now, we don't have a length of stay limit for our adult shelters, and we have seen, we used to, before COVID, we had a 90-day length of stay, and we have seen it go up. So people are staying on average about 6 months in our shelter system, and that is too long. We definitely want to be more efficient in our placement out of shelter, but also not remove people sort of prematurely.
Right.
And just if I may, to Commissioner Adams' comments, which I so appreciated, and you know, I've been through this with the port a few times on different projects and really appreciate your ongoing support. I do just want to draw attention to the unanimous letter of support from the Dogpatch Neighborhood Association that is in the packet, because I think that really reflects the work we've done with that neighborhood.
So with that, I'm totally supportive, so I'm glad. But I did read that the local supervisor was kind of against it. But I mean, if you're doing your job and you guys, I mean, hey, we got to do it. So congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Gilman.
Thank you both for the report. I just have two questions. Emily, so you're going to continue to prioritize people who are unhoused, who are District 10 natives and residents in your outreach?
We prioritize people who are experiencing homelessness in District 10. We can't always verify where somebody was most previously.
They only have to be there for 14 days to be
permanently housed. But we have a Bayview-focused, District 10-focused outreach team, and they are the primary source of placement into this site. We have very little turnover at this site, so there's not a lot of churn.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure with the new, I know the teams and the outreach has changed to neighborhood-based teams. So I just wanted to make sure that prioritization for folks that might be connected to that community it was going to remain a focus, because I think that's kind of critical. There's not as many services there. This is for port staff. This is a curiosity question. So you're seeking a 5-year extension in MOU. Why aren't you seeking more? I mean, this is 5 years MOU, but why aren't you seeking automatic extensions or extensions backed? Or is it just that because you're going to come back to the commission if you need a further extension?
I would say that, you know, first of all, this was always meant to be temporary. And so that is part of the thinking, that we don't want to have it extend beyond what it was initially intended. There's also the street vacation portion of this as well, which I think is key in how this agreement functions.
But there's still the clause that if we needed it for port and trust, we can give a notice and there's a vacate. I saw on the staff report there's a vacate clause.
Correct. If we do need it for a trust consistent purpose, that we can give 6 months notice to terminate.
Okay.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Kimberly, while you're up there, when you were talking about terms, you mentioned something about if we needed it back. What did you say? God, it's slipping my mind. I'm totally supportive of this. And I'm totally, and I love the fact that the community, the Dogpatch community and the surrounding community has embraced this, and that it's made that community a better place because it's helping with some of the problems they were having. But, I can't remember. Never mind. And I think most of my questions were answered regarding, you know, permanent placement and turnover and the percentages, and you know, I think it's when we talk about it being for residents or people located in D10, you know, I really hope that's a priority, not those who are moved there to get services, but those who have been there and really need help. So I really do hope that that's a priority, but I think this is a wonderful project. I think that it has been successful, and I'm just really happy that the community has embraced it. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you, and I look forward to hearing comments from the Southern Waterfront Advisory Committee.
Thank you.
May I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Just a process question. Just curious, is this usual that we would be, I know it's just an informational presentation, but the fact that the MOU sunsets in April 25, it feels like a really short window to be talking to us and the neighborhood, the Southern Waterfront Committee. Is that typical short process?
I just wanted to clarify about the process, and it maybe isn't clear to all the commissioners. I can sign this under my delegated authority.
Okay.
So this is squarely within.
Okay.
But because of the importance to the community and the conversations we had in citing the facility, I wanted it in front of the commission and for an opportunity to hear from community and from the department. So that's why it's before you as an informational item.
So that's will good. It come back as an action item?
No.
Well, I really wish that it could have gone before the advisory committee before it came to us.
We can. How can we remedy that?
We understood. I will say that an announcement was made to the Southern Waterfront, to the SAC, that we were in negotiations to extend this MOU. So there was some awareness. And they did know we were going to be coming back with a presentation. Unfortunately, the calendar didn't line up. So I will say that was a mishap on staff's part and not being aware of deadlines or cautious of deadlines and when this agreement sunsets. So we'll definitely work to avoid that in the future. But again, recognizing that an announcement was made and there were no comments with the initial announcement that we were working on this MOU at the SAC.
And I will say, so we're going next month? We are going next month?
This month.
This month. So I will say I will wait for comments, and if there are substantive comments, I'll bring it up in my director's report, next Port Commission. Will we have time before the next Port Commission meeting in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Actually, I'm sorry. I misspoke.
What's that?
Because I believe the SAC meeting is on the 23rd. The next Port Commission meeting is on the 22nd. So it will not occur prior to.
And so when you gave notice, did you ask for comment?
I don't recall.
So I think I would just send out another notice. Ask if there's any comments regarding this item.
Yes. Be happy to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, please.
Item 12 is new business.
I have recorded 4 items under new business. The first is to report on the viability of Pier 80 for crews. The second is to follow up on the visitor and workforce safety at Pier 35, to update on what Visitors Bureau or SF Travel-like provisions we could get at Pier 27. And I'm adding for Commissioner Engblom an update on our economic impact report. The last one was from 2020, actually, but it is still too old. It needs to be updated and to get on our website. Is there any other new business?
The update for the meeting that you had with Local 10's president, Demetrius, you and Andre, and then I would like for Mike, and can you guys put something together, give us an update on maritime? I know Mike went down to Long Beach for offshore wind, and I would just like an update on all the maritime projects that's happening, and hopefully Demetrius, President Williams will be here, but just so we can know what's going on, because Mike said, from my understanding, Mike had a good time down in Long Beach, and it's a lot going on with offshore wind. And I just want to know, with this new administration, is it put on halt, or are we still moving forward? So I'd like to hear from Mike on that.
One other thing. I think it could just be a staff report in the packet. I don't know if it needs to be an informational like presentation, but I'd also love an update from the AAPA policy conference that we were able to send staff to in DC about what's sort of on the horizon at the federal level.
Any other new business? If not, can I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned at 4:22, 23 p.m. Great meeting, guys.